The COVID-19 crisis has been compared to the 1918 pandemic, commonly known as the Spanish flu. WSHU's Davis Donovan spoke with a Stony Brook University history professor who knows very well how that pandemic played out and how it compares to today.
Nancy Toms gave a lecture to her Stony Brook class on March 10th. The topic, the 1918 influenza pandemic and public policy. It later aired on C-SPAN. What she told the students at one point to make a comparison sounded kind of crazy.
Let's say they come to you tomorrow and say, we have to shut down Stony Brook. How are people going to respond? Businesses don't want to close. Workers don't want to stay home. Why? Because they don't get paid.
The day after her lecture, the university announced it would close due to the coronavirus.
In many ways, I know what I'm going to read in the paper when I get up in the morning because it is so eerily reminiscent of 1918-1919.
Toms told me she's seen a lot of the same successes and mistakes in the weeks since that lecture. She said it's not a historian's job to be a fortune teller.
And yet their basic outcomes that we can predict if we've studied something like a pandemic. For example, the most vulnerable people in that society will suffer the most. I wake up in the morning with a heavy heart seeing that the headline in the New York Times today that even though many areas are not keeping track of statistics by race, that in big cities, Black Americans are being hit harder by this virus.
The so-called Spanish flu killed tens of millions of people, more than World War I, which took place at about the same time. Tom says the term Spanish flu is an unfortunate misnomer.
It was the fact that the Spanish newspapers reported about it earlier because Spain was not a combatant in World War I. The countries that were fighting World War I, first, the war news was dominating the papers, but also they were more reluctant to say, we have this terrible influenza breaking out among our troops. So, you know, Spain was the first person to kind of stick their hand up and say, oh, something's going on here. And then they end up getting the flu named after them.
Here in the U.S., the government's recommendations were reported in the newspapers. Wash your hands, stay at home, practice what we now call social distancing. But there weren't any mandates to do that. But one major difference back then, the press and public health officials presented a unified version of the truth.
They argued back during the World War I pandemic, but they did it in private.
And unlike today, there were no other ways of getting information.
I mean, if I want to go on a Twitter feed and say this virus was concocted by the governor of New York for his own political gain and that we should all start calling it the Cuomo virus, who could stop me?
Tom says the 1918 flu was the first attempt at nationwide public health education.
They were just starting to borrow techniques from product advertising to produce nonprofit messages. Instead of selling, you know, Listerine, they were selling the principle that if you coughed or sneezed, you needed to cover your mouth and your nose.
Did it work?
Surprisingly, yes. What we're doing today, the so-called flattening the curve, that approach to managing a pandemic that moves fast, kills a lot of people, is straight out of World War I.
And Tom says the cities that adopted social distancing had fewer deaths. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.